What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Love and Metal Podcast. I'm Keith.
I'm Mel.
And this is where we merge music and relationship together like...
Oh, shit. I'm supposed to come up with something, aren't I?
We do all this preparation for this podcast.
Every time.
And you got one job.
I know.
One job. One job. It's too late. The moment's gone. Anyways, welcome.
I forgot.
To the show. If you don't know, we're live. We always will be trying to stream this podcast live as we record it for our audio that goes out on Tuesday. So welcome. And for everybody who's listening, just thank you so much for the support and everything we get.
Yes, absolutely.
We're just hanging out. We've done the rebrand. We're doing the thing. We've done the video last week. We hope if you had a chance to watch the video, our excessively long video about Under Oath, because it's stupid.
You had a lot of personal stories to go with it. It's fine.
I did. It's my favorite band.
Right.
So, of course, it goes to show you that this is what we do.
Yeah, absolutely. So, anyways. It's all good.
Well, recapping the week.
Yeah. What do you want to talk about? We just got back from the beach.
You didn't do any research, so it doesn't matter. No,
yeah. I did lots of research, just not this part of it. Yeah. I take my other research very seriously.
Oh, yes. You take your research very seriously. Yes,
no, we just got back from the beach. We had been hanging out, went to go see your son.
Yes, you take your research.
And hanging out.
Yep.
Saw some friends of yours.
Yeah, we did a little baseball game. Lots of conversating. Speaking of our topic this week.
Yeah.
And the series that we are in. We are doing the must-have conversations.
Yeah,
that
they could
be had in a relationship,
right? Beginning relationship, in a relationship, yes. Whenever that might be.
Yeah, and we proved that those conversations happen all the time because we did.
Yeah,
it in
we
the
talked
car.
For 3 straight hours all the way down to the beach.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good time. So, like, if you're traveling and it's just you and your spouse or significant other. You know, it could be really anybody you're traveling with. It's a good time to have conversations because it's like undivided attention.
Yeah.
Turn the music down and
yeah.
You just talk. And
yeah, we had a really good conversation. It made the time go by very fast.
Of course, we're conversating about what we're going to be talking about on the podcast, but...
Yeah, and then on the way back home,
nothing.
No conversation.
No conversation.
We both zoned out for the duration of the trip back.
It was a quiet ride
home. I don't know why we're
home.
So tired.
Yeah, it takes a toll on you. But again, you know why we were so tired. We got up. So we leave work on Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
As normal. And we drive straight down. It's a 3-hour trip. You know, we had a little snack before we left.
Yeah, we ate dinner late. You and I are very regimented with our meals.
Yeah.
We're like toddlers.
Not really, but you're like a toddler. I'm not a toddler. But anyways, we drive straight down to the beach and we get there and we're like, you know, and our friends was like, hey, can you just give us a few more minutes? So we went and grabbed dinner and we came back, which was a normal evening for us.
We get there.
We stay up with them for a little bit and talk.
Yeah. It's no big deal.
We wake up the next morning and we're like, okay, we've got day five of our new workout schedule that we've got going on. We haven't done it yet. It was light lifting for the upper body. And we said, well, you know, there's a Planet Fitness down close to where my son lives, and we were going to go pick him up.
Yeah, so we'll go do that.
Yeah, we'll go do that. We didn't realize that workout was going to take us almost 2 hours to do.
Yeah, it was like an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah.
It wasn't because we had to wait for gym equipment. It just took a really long time.
It took
and
a
I was really,
really
tired.
Long time. Yeah.
But then I ate all the food and I felt better, so it was fine.
Yeah, we ate some food. We did our thing. We stopped at our favorite breakfast place.
Oh, my God,
it's
so
Beach.
Good.
Johnny D's, if you haven't been there.
Their menu's crazy, and you can get, it's like one of the only like pancake houses, I'm going to air quote pancake houses on that.
Yeah.
Where you can get like alcoholic beverages in the morning. So like they have purposeful
Yeah, they have breakfast. A full liquor license.
Yeah, but they place. Have like breakfast cocktails, yeah. Like not your like mimosas. I mean, I have those too, but like legit, they made them up breakfast cocktails.
Yeah, it's a good place
but
to
I
eat.
But I had a waffle.
Yeah, you did have the waffle.
Oh, it's so good.
I had
you
pancakes.
Hated it. Yeah, you did have pancakes.
No, I did not like that Funfetti waffle. That was just
it's the Funfetti's, babe.
It wasn't my cup of tea.
No, I knew you wouldn't like it.
Cup of coffee, cup of milk. It didn't. Don't matter. Don't matter what cup it
I
is.
I knew when I gave you a bite, I was like, there's no way he's going to like this. And then I was kind of okay with it because I knew I'd eat the rest of it.
Yeah, I mean.
It's fine.
Didn't want any.
No, I know.
Got pancakes.
Yeah, you did.
They were good pancakes.
Yeah, they were
good. Really good pancakes.
Yeah. it was good. Super we hung cool. out.
Yeah, and then we, you know.
Went to the baseball game there.
We worked hard that morning. Then we, you know, rush, yeah. picked up the son, went and ate, got back to the place, made some plans, got changed, got ready, and went back to Myrtle to watch the Myrtle Beach Pelicans play, which.
Oh, law. No offense.
Well, I mean.
That was the longest game ever.
It wasn't like, the y'all longest people, game ever.
Yeah, it was, too. No, it was three hours, and they were only in the
That's
sixth inning.
That's most baseball players.
That's the sixth most inning, baseball. The top. They stop every 5 minutes. Like, when we go to the Grasshoppers stop here, No. I'm not complaining.
Stop complaining. The Grasshoppers
You were complaining,
was this
too.
One.
Don't even go there with
well,
me.
Well, it was uninteresting.
Yeah, that was. Yeah,
but I wasn't complaining.
And you kind of were.
No, I didn't.
A little bit.
I said, hey, you ready to go? Like, I was like, all right. And I said, hey, is everybody ready to go? And they're like, yeah, let's go. Like, okay, we're going.
Okay.
What did I complain about? Tell me what I complained. Okay, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm not going to. We'll give have me, another conversation.
Give me the evidence.
Nope.
Give me the
there
evidence.
There's no evidence.
No evidence.
Oh, there's evidence. I'm just going to be quiet about it.
Oh, my goodness. She's taking the high road.
Sure am.
Funny stuff. Yeah. And then, of course, you know, we leave and have to find the expedition for gas in
Oh,
Myrtle
yeah.
Beach,
that was weird.
Crazy.
They were out of gas in a lot of places.
Yeah. Or they went, all their pumps wasn't working, which is odd to me. But anyways, so, you know, we get back and then we sit up and talk. And, you know, so it's a 2 days or not even 2 days, basically 36 hours of just packed in there, you know. So
yeah,
that's why you're tired. And then you get up in the morning, which.
Well, my schedule is all thrown off. It doesn't help me.
Well, true.
I'm very regimented when I go to sleep.
Yeah, you are. You're not a person who stays up late just to stay up late.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Me, on the other hand, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm just ready to go to bed at 10.
Yeah, I don't sleep, so it doesn't matter.
Mm-mm.
But it's funny because you go to bed at 10 and then you're up for another hour getting ready to go to bed. It's interesting. Is it just the lay down time?
I just am done with the day. Like, it's a done with the day thing. Well, I start getting restless leg syndrome. So if I stay up too late, it gets worse. So like last night, when I stay up past where I'm like ready, like there's a point in time where I just want to go lay down.
Yeah.
And my legs start getting that restless leg syndrome. And I don't like the way it feels. So I know that I'm past like
right
going to bed. Mm-hmm. So I just have to, I want to be in the bed.
Yeah.
So that doesn't happen.
I get that.
I hate that. The restless leg syndrome sucks. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Just don't like it.
True.
Then it bothers me.
Yeah.
So that's the way it works. So I just try to head it off so I don't have to deal with it.
But then that's why you're tired now.
Yeah.
Because it's a weekend that's not normal. And you'll be tired next week when you get back. Because she's going to go to the beach by herself next week with her friends. So
yeah.
So guess what I get to do all weekend? PlayStation.
It's girls' weekend.
Yeah, it's girls' weekend. And me and my mistress, PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
I don't get to see her much.
You see her plenty.
I see her a little bit.
That's fine. You can see her more. Nobody stops you.
Nah. I don't need to.
No, I know.
Because that's the side chick.
Oh, okay.
Most guys have side chicks. I have a side video game.
Yeah, Gran Turismo, whatever number it is.
That's right, Gran Turismo Sport. And racing cars. Love it. But yeah, anyways. So we are going to get into, we're going to continue our series tonight. It is... an interesting conversation. Most people, I think, tend to shy away from it. So,
yeah,
it's going to be interesting.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. So, we'll be back in a minute or two, just depending on how long it takes us to take a break and come back. But please don't go nowhere. Check us out. We'll be back in a minute to start the meat of the show. We're back, guys and girls. Thanks for hopping back over and checking us out as we continue on this conversations that must be had in relationships. Or, you know, we say must have conversations.
Yeah.
Are they must have conversations?
I mean, yeah, I think
between
so.
Me and you, we say they are, but, you know.
I mean, I think so. I think they're all things that you talk about at some point in a relationship.
Right.
Maybe how in-depth you get or when the conversations happen, but I think they all are conversations you have at some point.
Okay. So tonight you'll see it. I know when you logged into or saw it come across for the podcast, it says, you know, must have conversations, sex. But we're really going to deal with not just sex, but intimacy and sex. They kind of coincide with each other, but they're not they're not intrinsically interchangeable.
Right.
There's kind of a juxtaposition between the two of them.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just like me and you've talked about a number of times, which we're going to probably dig into pretty heavily in this, because I think this is one of those conversations that most people should be having.
Yeah, but I don't think out of feeling awkward, I don't think a lot of people have it, which is weird to me, because if you're willing to, like, you know, get down with somebody, you should be willing to talk about it.
It does seem strange that, and I can...
But I also think it's like a comfort level thing. Like, I think it's, especially if there's issues, maybe it's just easier to talk about it if you're just generally talking about it. But if it comes down to like issues or things that aren't going the way that you think they should be,
right?
Maybe that's where the awkwardness comes in, because of fear of like hurting somebody's feelings. You know what I mean? I don't know.
I think that that's a good point. I also think it's because sex is a taboo subject.
Yeah. And then when you're talking about with somebody, then especially in a new relationship, if you've had sexual partners outside of your new relationship, that can mess with your head a little bit, depending on who the person is. And so you're comparing, you know what I mean? It's like you get experience from somewhere. So like,
true. And
unless you're, you know, first-timers. Yeah.
And I think it's just something that people think sex is behind closed doors. So even conversations about it should be.
But I mean, honestly, that should be like the number one, like most intimate conversation you should have with your person. I mean, if that's what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, before you have sex with somebody, there should be some conversations just for safety reasons.
Well, understandably. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just find it interesting.
Yeah, it's a conversation most people should be having, but don't.
Yeah.
But again, we're not just talking about sex. We're going to talk about intimacy as well.
Yeah, right.
Kind of, sure. And people go, well, is there a difference? And I'm like, well, absolutely there's a difference. I mean, there's a line between what intimacy is and what sex is. I mean, sex is the act of procreation. It's intercourse. It's it's a primal animal type of thing. Most people go, well, should be in love, having sex and marriage and all that.
You don't have to be.
No, those things can happen without that stuff.
Yeah.
And it can be very emotionless thing. It can be a thing that used to hurt people. It can be something just because, well, let's just say it, because you're horny.
Yeah.
Like you just want to get on. You know, you just need that kind of
gratification.
That's it. Self-pleasuring gratification that you find with someone else or yourself, however it works. But we're talking about someone else.
Yeah.
So what's the difference? What, you know, we're not going to get very edumacational here.
No, we're not. We will not be giving a definition.
We're not going to get the, very
dictionary.
We're not going to try to get scientific between and very psychologically understanding of intimacy and sex and those types of things. We're like we always tell you, we're giving you our opinions and we're sharing our experience. But what I do know is that sex is sex, and intimacy does not need sex to be intimacy. So I believe sex is a part of intimacy. It can be a part of what happens in an intimate moment.
I agree.
Sex can be very intimate. It can boost your intimacy between you and your partner.
But you can have intimacy without having sex.
Exactly.
100%.
They're not interchangeable. Like I said, there is a juxtaposition between the two. Intimacy is something that feels an emotional need, an emotional tank, if you want to say. You're filling up that love tank.
Mm-hmm.
How do you fill it up in intimacy? Well, some people say, you do sex.
Yeah.
Well, there's other things that can happen.
Yeah, besides that.
Right. So one is not in need of the other. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, you can have sex without intimacy, and you can have intimacy without sex.
Yes.
And we very much agree on that. And I think that's where so many people get confused. I think that's one of the issues. I think, well, a lot of people are trained that way, because I know in different religious faiths, you know, sex is marriage. And true, but most people have sex outside of marriage.
Yes.
Just about everybody. I mean, let's be honest. Especially in the United States. Maybe around the world, might be different in certain other places, but we know in the United States, most people have sex before marriage. Christian, Muslim, Hindu, Catholics or Christians, sorry, but Protestant, Catholics. I mean, whatever it is, all the way down the road.
Yeah,
The way around. Okay. So now you're putting people in people's heads that sex is the most intimate act of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, everything of sex is tied up into intimacy. You know, if you have sex, you have to love this person. If you have sex, you have to be with this person, only this person. Sex is what ties you to this person. In a sense, let's just say in the Christian faith, it's kind of a biblically woven statement. And there's reasons, because you find it that when, you know, especially when we're talking about like young women, really get tied to a boy, mm-hmm. because, or a guy, man, whatever you want to call him.
Yeah.
the male of the species.
Right.
They get tied to him because they have sex. There's an emotional connection. So therefore, they're already tied up into the concept that sex is intimacy, and intimacy is sex. So therefore, that's why they fall in love and they don't want to leave that boy, and they'll do whatever that boy wants them to do, because now mm-hmm. they have sex with them. They tie that whole concept with them.
Yeah.
Which I get it. It's what's being taught at those ages, and especially in that side of religion. I get it. You know, we taught it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, there has to be some break from that to know that if you have sex with somebody, that does not mean you have to love them.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody has sex with you and tricks you into, I don't want to say tricks you, but, you know, puts you in a position where you have sex and they tell you that they love you so they can get that. It sets you up for failure down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And it also sets you up for failure that people teach you that sex is intimacy and nothing else is. Like, you can't.
Like, that's the only way that you can have a close relationship with somebody, right. is by having sex. Like, it's the ultimate closest relationship,
right.
in two people that are together.
Where I find that if you're vulnerable,
right.
in conversation,
mm-hmm.
is probably the ultimate level of intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that sex can happen. I mean, sex is sex.
Right.
It is a physical act to procreate.
Right.
It is an act of pleasure also, but it is intrinsically for
procreation. Right.
I mean, that's why we have sex. But then whoever you look at, or however you think we were created in a way that it feels good.
Yeah.
So therefore makes it even better.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, that's the honest truth. People should talk about it. Everybody does. I mean, geez, Song of Songs talks about how, you know, sex is yay.
Yeah, sex is yay. That's right. The new quote. Sex is yay.
Sex is yay. But if you get outside the realms of just like religion and things of that, and get away from science a little bit, just get into relationships of human beings. If you can break away from the construct that sex is intimacy, and that's the ultimate act of intimacy with a person, because honestly.
Yeah, because that's where you're taught to say that that's the highest level of intimacy.
Right.
Is if you're willing to have sex with me, then sex with each other, then that's the highest.
Yeah.
Closeness that you guys could possibly have, two people could have.
And now we know in this age that we have, this day and age of the hookup.
Swiping left and right.
Yeah, the hookup culture. There's no intimacy for sex. It's just sex.
It's physical. It's a physical need.
It is a physical act, and that's what they're doing. So how do you find intimacy, real intimacy, in a world or in a culture of, or in this culture of hookup?
Right.
In this culture of, you know, swipe left, swipe right, Tinder and Bumble and everything else. When people are, you know, some people are trying to find love and they're waiting to have sex until they find that person, but they're missing all the other important steps. And I think this is where conversations need to be had. Mm-hmm. Like, if you can understand that you don't have to have sex to be intimate with a person, to have intimacy with a person, then I think you could possibly take your relationship to a level that you haven't before.
Yeah, I can see that.
So having these conversations is not something you should have later. Not all these conversations about intimacy.
You're tongue-tied on that word.
I am tongue-tied on intimacy.
It's fine.
Intimacy.
It's fine.
But anyways. It happens. Yeah, so some conversations have to, I think, happen in relationships at the beginning. Absolutely, they should be happening throughout your relationship.
Yeah, we just had an in-depth conversation in the car.
Yeah, we've been married. We've been together.
Almost 2 years.
Creeping up on 2 years.
Yeah.
Real quick here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we've had probably multiple conversations about intimacy and sex.
Yes, we have.
Within the first week of talking. We
actually talked about, we talked about that way before we even saw each other. I mean, we saw each other. But nothing happened.
Before we actually started dating.
Before anything physical happened.
Yeah, before we ever had any physical
we actually talked about sex and
yeah,
relationships and all of that stuff beforehand, which I think actually helped our relationship.
Well, yeah, it put,
honestly,
I think,
it and we were very candid, like for just having met each other, like right. But I think that's an age thing, though. Honestly, I think it was like weeding stuff out. It was like, okay, knowing what we both want and what we both need in a relationship, it was kind of yes. like, do all of the pieces line up right? You know what I mean? So it was like, throw it out there, put it out there.
Well, let's be
honest. What do we have to lose?
I think the older you get, yes, but I think people who are divorced.
Yeah.
And who have, and especially divorced from long-term marriages.
Or even in a long-term relationship that doesn't end up where you want it to go, but exactly. you've been together for several years.
Yeah.
I think, and you know what you're looking for now in this second relationship.
Well, not only that, I think you're more comfortable talking about those yeah. things because you've probably talked about them a bunch.
Yeah.
Or if you have it, you know what you want to say. And
yeah,
again,
I would agree with that.
When you get older, time kind of is not on your side anymore, so you don't.
You don't want to waste the time just like yeah. him and hauling about a conversation that just like, let's just have the dang conversation and yeah. be done with it.
And what if, you know, you get out there and you're like, hey, you know, you don't have these conversations and then you get with a partner and then it's everything you don't want.
Yeah.
And you just waste your time.
Yeah. Understandably.
So in that aspect, I think when you start a relationship before, so since we're in the culture of online dating.
Yeah.
I think what we... I was thinking about this and I'm thinking, how do we really translate when these conversations should happen? So we're going to use the online culture of dating.
Yes, I would agree.
So
it seems to be prevalent.
So you're at your house, you're hanging out and you're swiping your left and you're swiping your right.
Yeah.
And you swipe left on a person and they swipe left on you and
you match.
You match. Hey, great. Let's not have the conversation about sex right then.
No. Not unless that's what... Unless that's what you want.
Unless
but if you're
wanting
a relationship. But if, yeah. But, we're talking relationships, though, not hookups.
We're talking about you're looking for your next
relationship.
Yeah. You're looking for that person. You're looking for your person. Okay. Yeah.
So not a hookup.
So you talk, you meet, everything seems copacetic. They actually look like their picture. They are who they say they are. They show up. If they cut you off in traffic, it's okay.
It's fine. It works out. It's fine.
It's hit and miss.
Oh, come on.
We're the jury's still out on that one. No. But seriously, we get to a place where, you know, you've talked a good amount on the phone or text or
yeah, like do you have stuff in common to even pursue the rest of the relationship? I mean, if you're like struggling to have a conversation or struggling to go back and forth finding common ground, probably not having the conversation then either. Like you're not going to lead with that.
Yeah, you've met the person.
Yes.
Y'all have had some conversations. Now, again, I'm not giving you a time frame because time frames are up to each individual. So what we're looking at, honestly, is when do I need to have this conversation before you actually have sex would be a good time.
Absolutely. Totally agree.
Because if you feel like you're going to do it, now, granted, if y'all go out on a date that first night and it just like blows up, you didn't have time. But then you need to have the conversation.
Yeah, don't waste time not having it.
Right.
Like still have the conversation.
Yeah, have the conversation. But if you know this person is going to be somebody you're eventually going to want to date exclusively.
Yes.
Then you probably want to have some conversations. What's some conversations you need to have at the beginning?
Like, I think you need to have conversations regarding, like, likes and dislikes, yeses and nos.
Boundaries.
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 This is where you can and cannot put this, this, this.
This is what I do not want on my body. Don't put it on my body.
Like, we knew right off the grip, no food. No food was ever going to be involved because you were out of it, and so was I.
That's a no.
I mean, I play with you with... Oh,
you play really strong about food and syrup and
well, I did call you a power waffle this week because you were being funny and putting that thick and fluffy Eggo waffle picture. And it said a power waffle. And I told you you were my power waffle and I was going to put syrup on you.
Yeah. That's true.
I didn't. I'll never do it, though.
No, you won't.
No, I don't have any interest in that. It's sticky.
Yeah, that's a mess.
Not happening.
But yeah, you should have conversations about, you know, and I know these are conversations that are hard to have sometimes, but like, all right, look, you know, what do you...
I just roll down them. Like, we just roll down, like, the list of things. Like, what about this? What about this? What about this? How's this?
Yeah, I mean, it's... You're not going to know unless you know. And I think the longer you've been alive and the more you've been through, it's easier to talk about. But maybe those are conversations. And if you're young, you know, starting relationships, it might not be the easiest thing to do. Hell, you might not even know what you'd like or just.
Well, that's true, too.
Or don't like yet. But maybe you do. But it's good. I think another conversation that should be had, I know we're talking a lot about sex, but the intimacy part is big. And I mean, what does it mean to be intimate with each person? Like, we talked about how sex and intimacy can be a part of each other, but is not the totality.
I think it's really important to have, because some people are not cuddlers and some people are not like huggers and not like those parts of intimacy or kissers. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a hugger.
Yeah, you're a hugger.
I'm a cuddler.
You are.
I'm a kisser.
Yep, you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just put it out there.
But I mean, right, and you know.
But I would like, but you also need to know what somebody else likes.
Yeah, because I remember I was telling you that a girl I had dated in the past was telling me about a guy she had dated, and he didn't want to be touched. Like, he had an aversion to being touched. Like, I don't know how that works.
I don't either.
That's weird. I don't know if, like.
But they had to have a conversation about that, because she could have completely just offended him. Like, so they at least talked about it. She at least knew that.
Or she touched him, and he goes, no, don't touch me.
Oh, that's true. I'm
just saying.
But that's her choice and not mine. I would not work. But if I didn't have that conversation with somebody and you didn't know that, gosh.
Well, yeah, and that those are the things. I mean, like, save yourself some heartache. Like, I'm a hugger. Like, intimacy to me is sitting on the couch and holding hands or something like that. Or this is an intimate moment. Like I said, being vulnerable and having conversations is a very intimate thing to me. Like, being very vulnerably open in conversation about my emotions or my, you know, wants or needs and things like that. Like, we talk about some of these conversations that we're going to talk about are vulnerable conversations. Having a vulnerable conversation about sex is kind of intimate because you're, excuse me, connecting to people.
Yeah, I think when you could just, like, openly and honestly talk without fear of, like, somebody, your person judging you, or
yes,
you're going to get a negative reaction from them or something like that, I think that's true intimacy. I think that really honestly is.
Yeah, and that the great thing is that, like we said, oh, you know, we need to have an intimate moment, so let's go have sex. But what if it's just, like, watching the show together and holding hands?
Spending time together.
Yeah. I think people take for granted that.
Does that fall into, like, love language stuff?
I think it can.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of intimate stuff. Because nowhere it says, like, my love language is having sex. I mean, mine would probably be. I mean, there's touch, but that's not it, though. But that's, like, that's not the same.
Well, we were watching a show this week because you like your trash TV. And
I love my trash TV.
So he's watching Love Island, and, you know, there was a question, like, what makes your man happy? And she's like, you know, physical touch. And he says sex, right?
Yes. And they argued about
it. They argued very much. Like, he's like, yeah, that's physical touch. That's what it means. And she's like, no, it's more than that, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I mean, you know, intimacy, I think, is derived from all the love languages. Like,
yeah, I could see that.
Like, you know, acts of service and, you know, words of affirmation. Maybe that's what brings, that's intimate to somebody. Mm-hmm. But sex isn't intimate in those ways. Like,
no, I agree.
Sex is the physical act. If you take sex out of intimacy, you can still have intimacy. You know, it's
understandable. Yeah.
That's something that I think people tend to forget. And I think that's a conversation that people should have, is that, are we being intimate? You know, do we have intimacy? Do we
have moments when, yeah, you're vulnerable, or moments when
you're connecting on an emotional level?
Yes, I would agree.
You're connecting on an emotional level in that, then I think that builds intimacy, which, again, you can have intimate moments of sex, yes, and it can be great, and it makes your relationship better at the same time, but you shouldn't have to rely on that. And I think,
so do you think if you find more ways, you know, to have intimate moments, then, I don't know, I talked about that in the car with you. I've thought, I wonder if you have more, if couples have more sex, if there's more intimate moments throughout the, like, a week, you know what I'm saying?
Do you think,
like, is there a direct proportion into, like, intimacy? Because, you know, everybody's like,
so if you have more sex, you have more intimate moments that are not sex, or if you have more intimate moments, you have more sex.
Yes, there's got to be a correlation between the two. Maybe
I don't know if it's a correlation, but I think I think what happens is that your sex life, I think your sex life looks different.
Okay.
If you have more intimate moments that are not sex.
Yeah.
So like.
But I think it also creates that emotional stability and emotional connectedness that therefore would in turn.
But that's what I'm saying.
Is that what you mean?
But that's what I'm saying. Like your sex life looks different if you're not just relying on sex to be intimate.
Yeah.
So like I want to have like when we have sex, it's nothing but the intimate, passionate romance movie love fest, you know, and you're like, oh, you know, it's all like foreplay,
camera angles,
and, yeah, all the watch the camera angle, but it's all those things, you know, you're seeing, all, you're getting all that in one wrapped up. So, and that's exhausting. Let's be honest, guys. You know, trying to be the Ryan Gosling of the Notebook, like sex or whatever. It's like that's a lot of work. That's a lot of pressure to live up.
That's a lot of time.
And if that's the only moments that your partner feels like you're having intimacy, then whew, sex.
How do you keep up with that? Like you can't top it. Like there's nothing you can do. But it's only downhill from there.
Yeah. But if you're finding other moments to be intimate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like if you're fulfilling the intimacy tank.
Yeah. Yeah.
In other areas, then sometimes sex is just sex. I'm waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go to work, but yet. There's things happening down below.
Yeah.
And knock one out with your partner. That's right. What, I mean, that's.
Yeah, yeah.
You're horny.
It doesn't have to be like this big production.
Yeah, like, oh, no, hold on. I've got to kiss your neck and rub your back and stroke your hair and all the foreplay that goes into it. You know, it gets.
Old.
Sorry, women. Sometimes it does get old.
But then again, I'm on the boat of old. Like, I don't want to hear that part.
Yeah. But again, I think there's women out there who's saying, hey, I need to get mine. Let's go. Chop, chop.
Yeah.
Don't worry about yourself. I think that's also where like sex talks have to come in. Like, what kind of person are you? Like, are you a giver or a taker? Are you, do you know what you're doing that you can give? I mean, you know, I mean, there's a lot
do
of things
I need going. To help you figure out what you're trying to give.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things going on there. And I think that understanding those things.
Yeah, yeah.
In those conversations in the beginning are good to have. That way you know what you're getting
well,
into.
Well, yeah, can you imagine if like you're just like the guy that's like the quickie guy and your girl thinks that she's supposed to have this like hour-long thing and you're not, because you wouldn't be feeling what she thinks she's her expectations are by any means unless you have a conversation.
Yeah, and God forbid you got a woman who fools you in bed who's like, whoa, you're kind of loud. And whoa, I think everything's good. And then she's like, I'm just that way. I'm like, whoa.
Oh my God. Bless you.
Yeah. Got a sneeze going on in here. But anyways, that's what happens when you live. You're not going to be able to cut those things out. Anyways. Yeah. I think these conversations at the beginning are important. If you want to go into a relationship with somebody.
Yeah.
Because once you realize what works and doesn't work, the conversations you have during your relationship become a lot easier.
Yeah.
And become a lot more manageable and a lot less vulnerable.
Yeah.
Because once you've put the big vulnerability out there and you realize they're not going to like
smack you down in it.
Yeah.
Right. Then you can be vulnerable in more conversations.
Make you go on the shame things. Walk through the streets.
Yeah.
Of the Red Keep and
like Cersei.
Yeah. Shame. But yeah, I mean, you know, that's what I'm saying. That's the concept. So when you get to the time that's in your relationship, you can start having conversations that kind of make it grow. Like,
yeah. Like, are you having sex enough? Often enough?
Yeah.
Let's check in on that. You know what I mean? Like those kind of questions.
Yeah, like, hey, it's been a minute. What's going on?
Yeah.
You know, what's going on with your head?
Right.
What's going on with your body?
Right.
I mean, let's be honest. Sometimes physical things happen and you're like, boop.
Yeah.
You can't keep it going.
Yeah.
Or up and
it's, round two.
Oh my gosh.
It happens.
But
it's fine.
I think good conversations that you should be having after the start and during a relationship is, are you meeting your partner's physical and intimate needs?
Yeah. I mean, I literally just asked you that question the other day.
Yeah. Not your wants.
Yeah.
What we're talking about.
Yeah.
Are you meeting these needs? Like, do you feel fulfilled?
Right.
And it's okay to say, hey, am I doing everything okay? But it's not just about sex. Again, it's
honest. No, it's about everything.
It's like, I think.
Because I tell you sometimes, I'm like, I'm going to hug you and I'm going to have to hug you for about 20 seconds.
Yeah.
It's, not that you don't want to hug me, but I'm just telling you I need more hugs today. Yeah. Or you're not one for kissy kissing.
Not really.
Oh, but I do.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I just lay it on you.
Yeah, you do.
It's okay. No, I just tell fine. You.
But if I'm not okay with it, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
And again, honestly, people, even when you're in a committed relationship, you need to be okay with what's happening between the two of you.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I mean, I don't want to say consent's still a big thing, but consent's still kind of a big thing.
Well, it's a comfortableness thing. It is yeah. consent, but it's a comfortableness thing. Yeah, if it's going to, like, trigger you in some way, there's no reason. Yeah, I don't want to do that. It's just not going to make the relationship great.
No, I mean, you know, you need to be in a place where you're okay with what's going on.
Comfortable, yeah.
Yeah, because some people aren't.
No, some people I know.
And people change during a relationship. I mean, there's sometimes that there are some things mentally that happens in your head that puts you in a different place
yeah.
of where you're mm-hmm. at with your intimacy mm-hmm. and your physical relationship with your partner.
Yeah, and I think it also evolves over time as well. I think things can change as you become more comfortable with each other and yes. as your relationship grows.
I agree. So what about the whole mood thing? People are like,
oh, yeah.
I'm not in the mood. Are you in the mood? Do you think people have enough conversations about that?
No, and I don't know. No, and I wish people would have more conversations about it because I think it would help better understand things in a relationship. I also think that not being in the mood stems from other things going on in the relationship that are not related to sex.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, I think that a lot of times women are not in the mood because all of the other boxes have not been checked in whatever's going on. I know for me personally, like, sex is, well, not now, but it used to be. Now it's just like freaking physicalness. But anyways, I mean, it's not. I mean, oh, that sounds so terrible. I'm just like, I'm a horny 18-year-old at 47.
Yeah.
Really. But anyways, I would have sex every day right now, literally 5 times a day. Maybe not many. But anyways, I know. It's okay. It's fine. But going back to what I was saying, like when I was in my 30s, though, like if there was stuff going on in my relationship at the time that wasn't good, then being in the mood was not happening. Like yeah. Sex was not happening because this, and this were not good.
Yeah.
Like, but the problem was not the sex. The problem was all of this stuff over here.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean,
things weren't dealt with. The conversations weren't held on the other things. 100%. And I think it's like that for a lot of women. Like, that fool did not take the trash out again, and now he's trying to hit me up for sex. I mean, for some women, that could be that simple. Like, it could be like, I freaking have done everything. I've been at home, been taking care of these kids, or you work full time, and now you're taking care of kids.
Yeah.
I think for women, there's like a whole thing that happens. It can.
I mean, it goes both ways.
It does, but I think that women are more tonight. I'm not feeling it. I think women turn guys down more than it happens the other way. That's just my personal opinion.
Absolutely. No, it's absolutely.
So I think there needs to be a conversation about that, though. Mm-hmm. And I also think you have to say, and I never was good at this, to say not now, but later.
Yeah. This is not the right moment.
Yeah. Instead of just cutting it off and just being like, no, because I feel like that would have. I think that I was detrimentally, like, hurting him. You know what I mean? Because just being rude, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it happens.
But I don't think we're programmed to say that. You just say, I have a headache. Not tonight. I mean, it's a cliche thing in, like, every freaking movie you've ever seen as a female. Well, no,
that's very true.
I can't. Not tonight. I have a headache.
Yeah. I mean, that's true.
When actually sex helps your headache sometimes. It does. Just saying.
When I found out that, I was like,
and I have a headache, by the way, anymore. So. I had one all day.
I have a headache.
Damn it.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work that way for guys. It doesn't go away.
No.
Headaches don't go away. Yes.
I have had a headache all day, but anyways, that's beside the point. It's just funny.
But I think also understanding that, like, sometimes the conversation is, it's not that I'm not in the mood. It's just,
I'm not in the mood right now.
Or that I'm just not initiator. And I think that's the other part,
Well, dudes usually have to be the initiators. I hate to say that. Like, women very rarely are. Like, that's different in our relationship because I never was the initiator. Now I am.
Yes, you are, because I told you I'm not.
Yeah.
I think it's also a physical exhaustion type of thing for some people. Like, you're going so much. It's just like, when you, like, for most people, sex happens when you go to bed or when you wake up in the morning. Some people hit it in the afternoon. They get the little afternoon delight. I get it. Yay, great. We do that every once in a while.
Right.
Woo. Yay, yeah. Sex. Yay.
I'm like, oh, what got into you?
Because I know when I go to bed tonight, I want to go to sleep.
I'm too tired.
I'm too tired when it comes to night. Fine.
That's all right. I'm fine with it.
But in that sense, I'm the type of person who's like, I won't turn you down. Like,
yeah, you tell me that all the time.
And very, very simple. I'm like a lawnmower. If you can prime the engine and pull the cord and it starts.
Zoom, zoom, babe. Let's go.
The lawn's going to get mowed. I mean, you,
oh, my God. Okay. Nice analogy.
There's your clip for the week.
There you go. Yeah.
But seriously.
Prime mow my engine. Lawn, babe.
Yeah, prime the engine. If the damn thing starts, you hell can get yeah. work done. And that's how I look at it. Because sometimes it does. I mean, I'm getting old. I'm not going to lie. I'm not even embarrassed about it. I don't care anymore. I'm too old to care about what people think.
Yeah, I get you.
But it's the honest truth because I know how many guys are probably going through it. We hit 40, 45, 50. Some things don't work like they used to when you're 18.
Yeah.
When you woke up in the morning and had a hard on. Or when you walked out the door and the breeze blew the wrong way and you got a hard on. You sat down in class and a girl leaned over the wrong way. You got a hard on. I mean, this is yeah. what happens to boys.
Yeah, I know.
It was all. And you're right. Boys could have sex at 18 years old. 5-6 times a day, every day, and be like, where's my next meal coming from?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
I know.
Like a dog on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, but we get older, shit don't happen like that anymore.
And then in come 40-something-year-old women, and...
That's why guys in their 40s feel so bad. I think that's why a lot of relationships break up, too.
Well, I could see that, too.
Because the roles change.
Yeah.
And
well, now all of a sudden, a woman's wanting it all the time, and a dude can't keep up.
And the guy's like, you know...
Here's an Adam and Eve gift card. Go get you something.
But beyond that, I think because the vulnerability of those conversations have never happened or haven't well, gotten there.
Imagine if we did not have the conversation like we're having right now or have had before about that whole incident.
Yeah.
I would think or could perceive that I'm not doing something right. Like something is just not clicking for you with me. Do you know not, what I mean? Like you could think that. But because we've had the conversation.
Yeah. Like, hey.
We clearly know.
The body is tired.
Yeah.
The blood flow. And remember, this is a scientific thing. Blood flows to it. So if you're not healthy, one, if your cardiovascular system sucks, then one, you're probably not going to be able to perform like you're supposed to.
That is why I make you go to the gym.
Oh, my God.
I'm just kidding.
But seriously, though.
No, it does help.
If you're out of shape, you got bad cardiovascular system, then it's going to take that away yeah. from you. So
your body's not going to send the blood there. It's yeah. not happening. It's going to
you. It's going to send it there, but it's not going to last long because when you get started, you get out of breath, and where's all your blood got to go?
Back up.
It's got to get to the oxygen into your brain so yeah. you don't pass out. Or it doesn't go there. It stays where it's at, and you just pass out.
Nobody wants either one of those situations.
None of that stuff happens. But realistically, though, you know, you have these conversations so you can understand. And then again, it might just be, like, I have mental illnesses, and sometimes my brain just doesn't function properly. So it's not that you're not in the mood. It's just that your brain don't shut off or your brain doesn't go into the right place. So you can't be in that moment to be sexually aroused. I mean, these are, like, viable things to have, conversations to have yeah. in a relationship. Women are the same way. I mean, women are mostly, like, emotionally connected in sex.
Yeah.
We've talked about that for a brief moment, but you're right. Most women have to be... like emotionally stimulated before they can be physically stimulated. We get that. But you yeah. need to have those conversations. Like there's times when I'm just not in the mood, so leave me alone because you're only making it worse.
Yeah.
You know, or have the conversation, hey, hit me up and I'm there. Mm-hmm. And whatever those conversations are, you should be having those conversations. And that's why, you know, we share these things because not only have we experienced those with each other, we have experienced those things in the past, you know, and it, whether it's the gamut of being a very young man or a young woman seeking relationships, seeking sexual relationships, you got to know what you're getting into. And yeah. let's be honest, be safe. I mean, at the end of the day,
100%.
Be safe because here's what I'm going to tell you. You don't want something that's going to make it fall off.
Yeah, we failed to mention that conversation, but that doesn't need to happen.
But we had that conversation. In the
beginning.
We
sure did.
Like, hey, are you tested?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got my paperwork right here. You know, mm-hmm. I hate to say that you have to do it in this day.
No,
and
we
age,
had
you,
that conversation, though. We totally
you should
did.
Have that
well,
conversation.
Because clearly we were coming from other relationships, so it wasn't like, you yeah. know, all of a sudden.
I mean, we were dating.
We weren't 20.
Yeah, we were dating.
Yeah.
After our marriages were done, and you know, having a conversation about your past sexual partners is not a bad thing. It shouldn't embarrass you if you had a bunch or none, wherever you are on that scale. It doesn't change who you are. It's just what you've done.
Right.
But also, having conversations about, I mean, sex brings other complications more than just like diseases and stuff. It brings pregnancies.
Yeah.
You need to have a conversation about that, because let me tell you something.
It happens.
If you have sex and it all works the way it's supposed to work, pregnancy is a thing that will happen.
Yeah.
You can be on birth control. You can use condoms. You can do all the right things not to have sex.
Or there's still 0.01.
Not to have babies. And there's still a chance.
Yeah.
Nothing is perfected outside of not having sex. And let's be honest. I have the most, like, best birth control outside of, you know, a woman having a hysterectomy,
yeah,
which we don't want if we can help.
Yeah. No, yeah, you're snipped.
Yeah,
we've said that before.
I told the doctor, I was like, hey, bro, I got four. I want it. I want the permanent.
The engine turned off.
I want the permanent done.
Yeah.
He's like, huh? I was like, I want it snipped. I want it tied. And I want it burnt.
Yeah.
I mean, do it all.
But that was a conversation we had to have, because if that was not the case, we didn't want children.
No.
So there was therefore
no more kiddos.
I'd be on birth control. Yeah, I would be on birth control.
Yeah. So, I mean, those are conversations.
I was on birth control.
Yeah. And don't be afraid to have the conversations. But again, that's the physical part of the relationship. These are all important things to be talking about.
Yeah.
Not just, hey, you know, sex, STDs and pregnancy, but hey, intimacy, what does that mean to you? Mm-hmm. How can we make our relate? I would, if you're listening to this, and you've gotten this far, and you're vested into having a conversation, I think the best question you could ask your partner,
mm-hmm,
we probably should post this somewhere, because this just came to me.
Oh my God.
You ready for this?
I'm ready,
for this, Jim?
I'm so ready for it.
Okay.
I'm so here for it, babe.
The conversation you need to have with your partner is what can we do to bring more intimacy to our relationship without having sex?
Oh.
What can we do to be intimate without needing sex? And if you want to take it a step further to really grow your relationship, I think at an intimate level, is what can we do to grow our intimacy without having to be physical? I mean, where you literally have to use your brains. You have to play around with the notion of using your emotions differently.
I already have the answer for our relationship.
What's that?
Concert tickets.
Oh, concert tickets.
Am I not right?
No, that's pretty good, because it does.
It's a shared experience. It's emotional.
Yeah.
It brings us together to do something that we both enjoy doing together.
Yeah.
You hear songs, so there's memories created.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's an intimate way to have your 40,000 of your closest friends.
Yeah, but you're right. That is a way to increase our intimacy, because it's something that's shared and plays with our emotions way. That is one way to do it.
There you go.
Good job.
So there's an example for you all.
What about you? Who is listening? Ask your partner. Or if you don't have a significant other right now, what is it that you would like to see, you know, in a future relationship, to drive intimacy to another level that doesn't involve like physical touch or sex, as we are really talking about here?
Yeah. That's a good question, babe. You're so smart.
Not really, but it comes to me every once in a while.
Just came to you like that.
I'm like the lottery.
Yeah.
I'm like winning the lottery.
You're the brain lottery.
Yeah. One in like 1 billion.
Can you win the real money lottery though? Oh God, what was that?
It's okay. Things fall.
Oh, that's what happens.
She freaks out.
Well, it's very still in here. That's why when something like that happens, it freaks me out. I thought maybe it was a sign that you're going to win the lottery. I'll take that as a sign. Let's go with it.
Okay, well, I'll play Wednesday and see what happens.
Okay.
All right. But yeah, think about what we talked about tonight, guys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, women and men.
All the people.
And everybody else in between and around and on the ground and in the sky, and that's, if that's how you like to do it, then that's how you like to do it. I don't know.
I don't. Yeah.
What do you mean?
In the sky. Not a fan.
Have you never done it in the sky?
No. Mm-mm. No, because the only place you can do it is in the bathroom, and it's like yay big. Or underneath the seat with a blanket. Oh, I already heard that. Never mind. Am I saying a story I really know?
What?
I don't know. Maybe make shit up.
How did you get under a plane seat? No,
not under a plane seat, under a blanket in your seat.
Really?
I don't know where I heard that from.
You couldn't do that. Everybody on the plane would know what's going on.
I could be quiet you in that situation. Be quiet. Probably not.
That's right. That's why we don't have sex in public.
I would learn how to be really quiet if that was the case. No.
Anyways.
Things to work on.
So,
number one.
We don't need to have that conversation. No PDA.
No, I know. I'm frustrated by that. But anyways, go on.
Why are you frustrated by that?
Like PDA? I mean.
Man, holding hands is fun.
Oh, okay.
I kiss you in public, like.
Yeah.
Little pecs.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about like.
A full makeout in public?
Yeah. I don't do that.
No, I know.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, I know.
Because how many times. Let me. Sir.
I haven't seen rabbit it in trail. Years. I don't really ever see people unless they've been drinking.
I see it all the time.
When?
Man, I see it in Walmart parking lots. I see it at the breweries.
Well, that's because. Okay, well, alcohol is involved at the breweries. I don't know what the Walmart excuse is for that, though. But I'm turned on by
I see it more than
deals.
I want to see
I don't know.
I don't know, but I see it more than I want to see it.
Like full out making out?
Yeah. Like tongue lashing and all kinds of things.
Will you like point that out to me next time?
I always try to.
Oh, I never see it. I miss it every time.
I think I pointed out to her and she goes,
I think I probably like it.
I'm like, that's gross.
That's probably why you stopped pointing it out to me, because you're like, don't get any ideas, woman.
Yeah, keep your hands over there.
I mean, I am handsy. I got my hands underneath my...
I know, you need to keep
sitting
them
on my hands right now.
Right, you need to keep them there. I need to do work. Anyway, so hopefully you'll pick up something from tonight's podcast and kind of interject these conversations into your relationships, or if you're looking, if you're in the hunt for a relationship, that you understand that these are good conversations to have.
And don't be scared to have them. No. Like, and if somebody's not willing to have the conversation with you, especially if you're at that point in your relationship, yeah, you might need to think about that.
Red flag.
Because if they're not willing to, like, kind of be that open and vulnerable with you, do you really want to give them your downstairs kitty cat?
And at the time, we need more people live to see what just happened. If you're watching if you're listening to the podcast and you want to see how the reactions actually happen, you should tune in live.
I've been very toned down. I've been very toned down.
Why are you toned down?
I don't know.
Because normally you're not.
I know. I've got a bit on a roll.
Yeah. Anyways. So tell us what you think. We did put a poll up on our.
You put a poll up?
Yes. We put a POLL.
We pinched a tent. I'm just getting started. I missed my cue earlier, so.
Well, that's your fault.
Okay, then we could say that would be my thing. Would be like relationships and music go together like a pole and a tent. There you go. I did it for you now.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
But yes, we did put a poll up on the Facebook Live, which was talking about, do you think that intimacy... Or do you think that for intimacy, sex is a necessity? Well, of course, we do not think that. And we hope that you don't either. But if you do, you probably should have a conversation with your partner that you do. And honestly, everything that you do in your relationship should be having conversations that are vulnerable. You want to build intimacy, build it through vulnerable conversations. And then I'm going to tell you guys, listen to me. If you can find a way to be intimate outside of sex, sex will change.
I raise my hand on that one.
Yes, you do. Yes. Yeah, yes, you do.
I did.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, twice.
So if you didn't see her raise her hand twice.
I'm doing third time.
Three times. Tune in live. Also, don't forget to check out the YouTube channel and pick up all the latest videos. We'll be posting a new
music video.
Meet and greet.
Yeah, meet and greet.
This week. It'll be her favorite band. And then we'll continue on from there. But don't forget that we will have pop-up live events talking about stuff like this, maybe having more conversations about, you know, intimacy and sex.
Yeah.
But until then, we always want you to remember that, just like we try to do all the time, is to live life loud and bold.
And mediocrity is not an option for us, and it shouldn't be for you.
Peace.
Laters.